decided they want to move on. Why do you want to be so vindictive? So I'm glad he did that. He also deposed three monarchs and allegedly ordered the withdrawal of the certificate of return of local council chairman elected under the APC in the October 15 local government elections conducted by the state independent. I think he should have tarried a while. He should have tarried a while, go through the mail, get some, you know, some one or two, three panel to quickly do something in 3-4 days and give him a report. In that one, I think he was a bit too hasty on the same day. Of course, some of you know that the accountant general of Osun State had gone in hiding a few days to the end of the tenure of Oyetola. I'm going to be speaking to somebody who is in Oshobo at between 9 and 10 this morning to give a full-blown account of what actually took place. Of course, you know why the accountant general had to leave. Your guess is as good as mine. And I don't know why repeatedly we always find governors who are living doing this, trying to move out with as much funds as they can. The man, the accountant general, wasn't available. He didn't pay anybody any salary. You loaded the place with workers. He didn't pay anybody anything. The accountant general should be singled out for honor. It was reported that the House of Assembly tried to bully him, but he stood his ground. We need to protect people who are given these jobs to make sure that they have the power to resist the antics of our politicians. Now, he did something also that I didn't quite understand. I never knew that. I'd always called it Osun State. I didn't know that it was called State of Osun. And I think it should have been a bit more. That is not the important thing at the moment. He should have taken his time to settle in before he did that. Now, the House of Assembly has challenged him on that, but we all know the name of the game. They will fall in line anytime from now. He has the key to the cookie jar now. They know the game they're playing. He will fall in line. And what else did he do? He
deposed three monarchs.
He deposed three monarchs.
Asked the palaces to be locked.
Well, I don't think it should have been that dramatic. I think it should have at least tarried a while and settled down. I think that was a bit arbitrary. But you don't start governance on such a note. The sacking, I understand completely, so that you don't have any financial burden on your neck. I understand that completely. There's no doubt in my mind. But things like the monarchs and so on and so forth, it could have tarried a while. But then he'll probably say he has done his own work. To defend his actions, he says that explaining further the content of the executive order on Monday by Deleke, his spokesperson, Olawale Rashid, in a statement said, the 6 ordered assented to by the government covered the appointment of workers, monarchs, among others. He also said 4 committees have been instituted to review and audit appointments, promotion, state assets, inventory and recovery committee, contractors, MOUs, agreements. Government is always a continuum. I don't know the kind of democracy that we are practicing. I was saying to Philip the other day, every Wednesday I look forward to, as soon as I finish here at 10 o'clock, I go and sit in front of Sky News waiting patiently for Prime Minister's questions. If we had that kind of democracy, parliamentary, all this issue about whether anybody is going to be debate in Miloko, all these things will not arise. It will be out there in the open. It will be, I don't see, if I come to think of it, I don't know how many of our presidential candidates will be able to withstand what Rishi Sunak faces every Wednesday.
Nibo, how?
How? I want you to imagine that we had the parliament, that kind of parliament, and our last 3 or 4 presidents had to face such a parliament. What, Kevin?
That's what you see most.
Anyway, the PDP has backed the governor. He's going to settle in. Okay, so what do I think the Osun people would look forward to? It appears to me that, in spite of his mien and character and whatever, he probably has some limited education. Probably, I don't know what kind of administrative experience that he has. These things are going to be, create a few problems here and there. But I think he'll be a populist person. I suspect he'll be a populist person. The best thing for him to do is to do the easy things that he can handle. You know, and I also think he might bring in some private investment into the state and so on and so forth. All the, they're going to have a lot of things to review. I don't know if that has been reviewed.
Yeah.
Where everybody, every student wears the same uniform, wearing hijab and all. All these things he probably just straightened out, and at least we'll have some, we'll have the heat go down. But he's the people's governor. You can't take that from him. He won the election. You needed to see the crowd, you know, at his swearing in. He gave them a few dancing steps. I wish that I could, you know, I could replicate here, but there's no music to play to it, so you will spare me. Had there been music, I'd have been more than willing to do the buga dance for you to see.
Are you daring me? I can play the music right now.
If the guy sang the music in this voice that you have, it's a compass, Jerry. Let's go.
It will take me just 2 seconds. I will play the music for you. Oh my God. Let's go inside the page. Page 4 has his story here. It's a spread. Page 4-5. Aminu said he was arrested, beaten on Aisha's order. That's according to Aminu's uncle. This was trending yesterday.
Yes, and the government should handle this very carefully. Very, very carefully. Now, I haven't seen what this gentleman is supposed to have written, so I can't comment on it. However, if there is any reason to believe that he wrote something that was derogatory to the First Lady, then our laws should take care of this, and I don't think that should mean it should be locked up perpetually. Okay? And it has to be handled carefully. And remember, this is in the North, and he's making reference to hunger and the size of people in government. Now, that imagery is a very dangerous imagery. And punishing him unduly is not going to make it any better. My advice to government, if you think he's... And let's face it, the First Lady is not known to the Constitution. So she's not really, but that is not... It's not really a public officer, as it were. Mm-hmm. So you need to be very careful. My advice to government is, this is a very young man. Yes... Look, go to Facebook and see what I put on yesterday of a very angry young person.
Yep.
If you look at it at face value, it looks inappropriate. But I put it up on my Facebook page for you to see the anger of the youth. Don't react to the content. Don't react to the mien of the person. Look at the content of what young people are saying. So treat it, before you know it, this man is going to become a hero. So my advice to government, before it becomes a problem to them, this morning, take him to court, make sure he's granted very lenient bail, okay, and given a light sentence as a warning for him to go home before we have a national crisis on our hands at a time of election. That is my advice to the government this morning. It's all, you know, as usual, some hot-headed people, he can't talk to he can't talk to the First Lady like this. He can't, a lot of lesser minions in the system will want to be doing what you call eye service. But if this ever gets to the First Lady, she should intervene as a mother. At the minimum, let him be charged to court, giving light bail, light sentence, and let him go before we have a crisis. Because the symbolism that he made, as it appears to, like, the poor are thin and the rich are fat, is in the minds of so many people. He is speaking the minds of so many people, inappropriate as that tweet, as it seems. So we need to handle this with some element of maturity at a sensitive time like this.
Right.
One or two be now.
Right, yes, no.
Philip will be saying, Philip. He will say the same about you.
Yeah, so that's the thing, right? And I think that the outcry over this is a little bit body shaming, because there are many people in government, there are many people in power who are Okpatinyokoro.
No, I think it's symbolism, really. I'm not even looking at the physique. It's the symbolism. The symbolism is simply, the people in government are fat and healthy.
Yeah.
We, the poor, are looking thin and sickly.
From what he...
Some people who are fat as poor,
yeah,
are fat because they've been eating. If you eat puff every day, you'll be fat. But if you eat a nice salad from one of the major hotels...
But there,
So it's, there, so there, it's a symbolism.
There are people who eat puff every day too that are slim.
If you eat puffu and puff puff every day and fatty meat, of course you'll be fat.
No, so not it's not a symbolism. I agree with the symbolism, illustration. But I think that in this case, from what I heard, I did not read what he wrote. I have not seen it. He made reference to the first lady.
Yes. But that's
the first lady is not in government. The first lady is not in power.
That is breaking it down.
That's why I said that initially, that this is body shaming. So that should be the context of, approaching this. If I had wanted to make reference to people in government, there are many people he could have chosen. There are many governors he could have picked.
No, you see, even if he knew her personally and he said this one-on-one, the symbolism is not lost on the people. That is the part that concerns me. Whether the first lady is slim or the symbolism. Because you see, I said...
It's not just right. It's whether it's the first lady or it's not the first lady.
What is not right now?
What the guy is alleged to have wrote or something written. Or said.
No. I never said it was right.
No, I'm not even referring to you. I'm referring to the outcry on social media now. That their focus is now on the guy being arrested, the guy being this.
Yes, that is why the government has to handle this thing with some level of maturity before it blows out in their hands. Remember that what caused the Arab Spring?
Yeah.
Something as easy and simple as this.
No, that one was serious.
Hey, but this one, you never know where it's going to end if you don't handle it right. And remember, it's in the north.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Let's take this one here. This one is kind of interesting. Nigeria issues travel advisory to indigenes visiting U.S. and Europe. I saw this story this morning.
I have never been so embarrassed as a Nigerian as I am reading this story. Now, if you are non-Nigerian, please, there's somebody knocking your door. I want to address my people. Itigeta Bodogwele. He says here that the federal government issued a travel advisory to its citizens traveling to the United States and Europe. And the advisory was issued by the Minister of Information, Lai Mohammed. And that the travel advisory was prompted by attacks on Nigerians in London and the stealing of their belongings, including passports. Could this story be true?
I'm reading from the Vanguard.
And it quotes Mohammed as saying that it has come to the attention of the government that Nigerian travelers to the United States and some countries in Europe are having their belongings, especially money and international passport, stolen at an increasing high rate. And that the most recent victims of these travelers to the UK, most of them were dispossessed of their belongings at highbrow shops, particularly in the high streets of Oxford. We have therefore decided to advise Nigerians traveling to Europe and the United States to take extra precaution to avoid being dispossessed of their belongings. So we have issued our own travel advisory. Be careful how you go to Europe and this thing, so that your passport. This is infantile. It's highly embarrassing. There is theft day and night all over the world, anywhere in the world. Travelers are always targets anywhere. How can we be issuing this kind of advisory? What are we trying to do here? Are we trying to retaliate the advisory that was issued by the United States? What if you are issuing this advice to US, Europe, what about South Africa, where the crime rate is about 5 times higher? Why do we do this? This is highly embarrassing. Highly embarrassing. I'd like to find time. I don't know how we can get Onyema to come and tell us specifically what exactly is our foreign policy, especially at times like this. I don't get it. I just don't get it. Advisories are issued at a time when there is a very dangerous situation, and not this advisory that you should take care of your pocket, to your passport and whatever could be stolen in Oxford Street. Do you think somebody sneaks this into this paper?
No. Actually, I think that it's a thing. Like you said, travelers.
What kind of thing?
So I've heard something similar to this before, where a Nigerian family on vacation, they have their passports, you know, inside, you know, that this kind of, oh, that bag, it didn't come with that bag, that kind of bag.
The you carrier want everybody bag, to know I have another bag. No, because even if you want to break it down,
yeah,
what does somebody want to steal a Nigerian passport for?
So yeah. I have no idea, but then in this instance, all their passports gone.
Yes, these family. Things happen anywhere in the world. That's what I'm saying. Ah, come on. Why are you issuing an advisory for United States and because somebody's passport was stolen on Oxford Street? Egbamike. It happens every time.
Yeah.
And even the timing is suspect. After an advisory has been issued on the Abuja thingy, this is your own response. This is I don't understand it. I don't know. How can I get Professor Bolaji Akinyemi? We need somebody to dissect. We need, you know, our foreign policy seems to be in tatters. Abike Dabiri is in one direction. Other people are in another direction. And now, Alhaji Muhammad has found himself in the middle. And who issues the advisory? Should it be the Minister of Information? This should come from the Foreign Office.
Yes, it should.
So what is it? I don't know.
Let's go to the Guardian. Let's dub the punch. Let's go to the Guardian. Guardian has. Why are you waving your hand like that?
No, let's move on, Ojari.
Tinubu to speak on manifesto at Chatham House, December 5.
Yeah. Okay. So December 5 has the APC candidate is going to speak at Chatham House, and the release here says he will have the opportunity to discuss his vision and recently unveiled manifesto for renewed hope in Nigeria, including his policy proposals for economic reform and revival, and how to deliver secure and inclusive job opportunities for Nigerian citizens. Okay, so the report also says that it's not clear who among the remaining presidential candidates will next get an invitation to come and speak on the agenda. So it's a good opportunity for him to sell himself to the world. I hope his handlers are, I mean, we have to be very honest about this. I hope his handlers are ready and you know, they would appreciate the challenge that this one brings. I just hope that this is not a time for politicking now. We must tell ourselves the truth. I don't agree with Senator Ogunlewe, who I saw in the media yesterday, who said that the candidate is so busy. That their candidate, APC candidate, is so busy, he doesn't have time for interviews. He's busy with town hall meetings and so on and so forth. And Senator Ogunlewe, I don't know. And he said, if you want to ask him any questions, you should go to the town hall meeting ask him the questions. Senator Ogunlewe, he's so busy, but he has time to go to the UK to give. Who would he be talking to at Chatham House? We need him to talk to us here. This is where the action is taking place. But there's nothing wrong with it. No, don't get me wrong. Before you start going wild on Twitter and whatever. There's nothing wrong with Chatham House. But we are saying it should do so likewise here. He didn't go to the Chamber of Commerce. So many places he was invited. But he's happy to oblige them in Chatham House. Nothing spoiled. Let's watch that development. It's December 5. How would you be able to get it live? Maybe if you go to YouTube or something, you might.
I don't know whether they stream that.
No, the kind of even his handlers too should arrange for it to be streamed. Okay. That should be very easy. That can be done in 5-10 minutes really.
Okay. All right. Let's pick up the Guardian front page now. This story reads: cyber crimes raise concerns for 30.2 trillion naira monthly e payment.
Yeah, cyber crimes are going to kill this country. And I'm telling you, I am not exaggerating. Between emails and texts and WhatsApp messages that I get in a day from my two email accounts and texts and so on, I must have about close to about 80 to 100, you know, attempts one way or the other at getting my account details. So this story is front page of The Guardian. It raises concern. It says, Nigerians count losses as fraudsters get sophisticated and empty bank accounts. Let me give you an advice. Any text, I repeat, text, WhatsApp messages, whatever, that you get do not, I repeat, do not react to it immediately. Pick up your phone and call your... The one they played on my brother once was they sent him what looked, first of all, what looked like a, what do you call this now? What looked like SMS saying that he's, showing that his money had been deducted from his account. Then they now sent him an SMS, supposedly from the bank, warning him that it looks as if some people want to tamper with the account. Then he saw that they are taking some money and that he should quickly change his password, which he then linked him, which he then did. And then the avalanche came. And he was not even in the country. He called me from UK. They emptied him. Quick, sharp, sharp. So anything you get, sorry, Joseph, I mean, I have to say that. Anything you get, any text or whatever that you get, no matter how insignificant, do not, I repeat, do not click on whatever is sent to you. Don't even try to see what it is. Then I've taken telephone banking away from my from my phone for two reasons. One, that impulse to always give people money when they ask you is gone. If I want to give you money, you have to wait till I put on my laptop at 10 o'clock at night. I no longer rush telephone, star, this thing, star, what? No, because why? If your phone is stolen, heaven help you. So, it's a fight. So we need to start. We need to start getting very, very careful. I think, Sheriff, we need to call in somebody who can come and educate our people on how to watch out for all this. They are highly, I repeat, highly sophisticated. Highly. And what they do is they work on your immediate reaction. Did I apply for work? They said that was it Shell have invited me to come for an interview as an IT technician at 67. But you later computer. I get all kinds of things. And the one time they say I've won 1 million, they've stopped all that. Now the latest one is to say that you have a job offer, and they use that to drag you in. Also look out for the ones that tell you that offer you citizenship. We will offer you citizenship to Canada. These are the advices we should be issuing in house. Instead of talking about how somebody's passport can be stolen on Oxford Street. So it says Nigerians count losses as fraudsters get of empty bank accounts. Death of IT staff worsens recovery time in banks. I hear the banks have been wiped out. Most of the IT personnel have jackpot. They've all gone
out. Oh, yes.
So the turnaround time is very, very slow. I think I need to call somebody in from the bank. I will call this my...
I mean that's a big crisis right there. That one,
Yes, story. Yes, Philip, remind me that from that bank, my bank, we'll bring them in here to see if somebody can educate us. NCC issues over 9 security alerts since the beginning of 2022. Expert 6 review of Cybercrime Act 2015 kick against plea bargain. Now, one of the problems we have here is that the punishment for crimes are not well articulated, and some of the punishments are laughable. As far as I'm concerned, anybody stealing Nigeria's money, any public servant stealing Nigeria's money, should be charged for treason, and the minimum should be life sentence or death. We have gotten to that point. Minimum life, just lock him up for life and let's get him out of the way, because it's become so rampant. So the same applies to this too. Usually most of them get a slap on the wrist.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then so you find that it keeps growing in leaps and bounds. So that's where we are today, unfortunately. And I think you should find time to read this story. It's a full page story in The Guardian.
Yeah. Yeah. I think so too.
Is that a policeman standing there?
No, it's not a policeman.
I kept saying the head bobbing.
You're safe. It's not a policeman.
Is there a back door here?
No, there's no back door.
But
you have this thing.
Yes, exactly. I will not disappear. I'll leave you alone.
Yeah, try it.
I don't know. It doesn't work like that.
No, I'm just saying that for testing's sake.
No, they don't do testing. They have tested it at the place, at the point of issue.
Were you there when they tested it? Is that like a passport?
They have tested it at the point of issue. I'm going to touch your passport. Stealing of passports was long ago in the 70s when people were doing Olorilo. But now, if you steal a man's passport, the best you can do is maybe put it in your chest pocket in case somebody throws a dart at you to prevent it from getting to your head. Outside that, it's completely useless.
Yeah.
I mean, so I don't know about this this so-called whatever advice. Is very, very embarrassing. Don't know where it's coming from.
Okay, so we have to go now.
9 o'clock.
Yeah, 9. What's coming at 9?
9 o'clock. I have Angela for 9.
Okay.
And I have Kome Ademile from Oshogbo for 9:30. Mm. I want to know what's going on there.
Mm, fantastic. All right, that's our show. Thank you so much, sir, for coming. Let's take this break. After the break, we'll continue with our activism against gender-based violence.
You summon the oracle now. Greetings, my king. I'm the oracle, serve you. You will tell me the secret to your power. That can move without it.
I assume that you would run because I want to give the listeners context for the conversation.
In 2019, you were running mate to Atiku Abubakar. What did you learn then that you will not repeat this time?
Yes, when is the president coming out to address us?
There's a few things. One, I have a burden and a passion for young people.
The fact that you have elected a man does not mean then you begin to order him around. The president will do whatever is good for the country at any given time.
Additional, isn't the president responsible to the people?
What should the next president do to root out stakeholders who are complicit?
You fire those that need to be fired are fired.
It's looking like a brand new Chelsea attacking with so much fluidity. And what can you say about that, Martin? I know you follow Chelsea quite closely.
I live close to the Chelsea training ground. That's what you mean by that. I'm not